executive officer, Mr. Kelvin.
Thank you, councillors, ladies and gentlemen attending tonight's chamber meeting. Please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement, which is item number one on tonight's agenda. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
The reconciliation statement declares that Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants, past and present. Thank you, councillors. You may be seated, and members of the gallery. Councillors, I draw your attention to item number two on tonight's agenda, apologies and leave of absence. Do we have any apologies or leave of absence?
Councillor Ramsey is an apology this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Item number three, changes to the order of business.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the order of business to be amended to bring public question time to precede item number 10, the resumption of debate.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who seconds the motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Kakali. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number four, deputations.
No deputations this evening, Madam Mayor.
Item number five, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Madam Mayor, I have an indirect interest in report number 12.18 and previously advised the CEO as required. This falls under section 78E of the Local Government Act 1989, as it may have an impact on my residential amenity.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. I also like to declare that I have an ongoing conflict arising from an indirect interest in item number 10.1, Telecommunications Tower Brookside Reserve Vodafone, in tonight's council agenda in item 10 under resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. This falls under section 78E of the Local Government Act 1989 and it may have an impact on my residential amenity. So I will be stepping out and removing myself from chamber, council chamber, and I'll ask my deputy mayor, Councillor Cugliari, to take the chair.
Madam Mayor, I just wish to draw to your attention that we do have 8 public questions this evening relating to that matter, so if you wish to declare an interest in those at this time,
yes,
that would be convenient.
I would also like to reiterate that I have an ongoing conflict arising from an indirect interest to the questions that are related to the Telecommunications Tower and Brookside Reserve Vodafone, and I will also remain outside of the chamber when these items are being discussed. Councillors, are there any further declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor? Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. I have a recommendation here. Would a councillor like to move that recommendation? Councillor Dunn.
I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on 30th of May 2016 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 7, record of assembly of councillors, 7.1. Record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A/1 of the Local Government Act 1989, and the recommendation reads that the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated 6th of June, 7th of June, 14th of June and 20th of June 2016 attached to this agenda be received and noted. Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'll move that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 8, correspondence inward. 8.1, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. I have received one letter from the Victoria Police in regards to police numbers for the city of Melton, and I'll just highlight some of the information that's been received in this letter. It's actually, it was in regards to the letter we sent to the Chief Commissioner of Police regarding police numbers for the City of Melton. As you are aware, the community within the Melton City Council boundaries are served by police stations at Melton and Caroline Springs. Between the two stations, there are approximately 100 personnel. There are other units who work within the council boundaries. Those units are the Melton Crime Investigation Unit and Melton Highway Patrol. I acknowledge that there are challenges that we as a community face with the growth that is occurring now and the proposed growth in the future. I also recognise that there is a close working relationship between the City of Melton Council and Victoria Police. I recognise that this municipality is growing. Please rest assured that the divisional management team is aware of the challenges ahead, and we are putting in place plans to ensure that we are well resourced to serve the community. And this is Peter Langdon, Acting Inspector 22092. I have a recommendation here, councillors, that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the mayor be received and noted. Do I have a councillor to move this motion?
I'll move the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have anyone to second the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 9, petitions and joint letters.
There are no petitions or joint letters this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Item number 11, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We will proceed firstly with those questions that don't relate to the Vodafone Tower issue, so your exit from the chamber can be all accommodated in the one process. So the first of those is a question from Anita McDiarmid, who's in the gallery. The question reads, and it's in relation to PA2015/4986 Childcare Centre, Melton Gisborne Road, Kurrinjang. And the question reads, is the full size of the natural billabong at the rear of the building included in the environmental overlay and Melbourne Water's recommendation, quote, there must be no net increase in the level of fill placed on the property to ensure floodplain storage is maintained? And Peter Bean, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond.
Thanks for the question, Anita. Just in response to that, council staff aren't specifically aware of a billabong per se at the rear of the building. However, the Melbourne Water and Environmental Significant Overlay covers over three quarters of the entire site that you've mentioned, of which the waterway in question is contained totally within that. So that is the protection that will stop any concerns you have with fill being introduced to that area of the site. Thank you.
The second element, second question from Ms. McDiarmid is, as neighbours and guardians of the natural red gum forest, if we observe accidental or intentional removal or damage to the trees, what recourse do we have, i.e. reporting to an authority, or assisting with the replenishing the forest to flourish? And again, Mr. Peter Bean to respond.
Anita, if vegetation removal is observed, you should contact Council's Planning Services Department to ascertain if the vegetation removal has been done lawfully. If it's found or been done unlawfully, Council has the capacity to investigate and instigate enforcement proceedings against those responsible for the illegal vegetation removal and subsequent reinstatement of any damage that may have been done. Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Williams. Is Mr. Williams in the gallery? Okay. This question is in relation to the same planning matter, and it reads, is the council aware that there will be treated effluent from a maximum of 200 people at some stage that will have to be removed from the premises, as there is not, in my opinion, sufficient ground to absorb such a large volume of water? Again, Mr. Peter Bean.
Thanks, Michael. As part of the application process, the application is referred to Council's Environmental Health Services Department. of which the conditions will form any part of any approval requiring wastewater and effluent disposal to comply with the requirements of Council said Environmental Health Department and the relevant EPA codes of practice. So if the site can't contain it, it won't be approved, but with the relevant current practices with effluent discharge and treatment, they will make that determination based on the numbers that have been provided for in the planning permit application. Thank you.
And the second question from Mr. Williams reads, as there is no dedicated stormwater point other than the natural watercourse at the rear of properties, can Council consider enforcing the possible installation of a pumping station on a reticulation system to be installed and to connect into the sewage mains across the Gisborne-Melton Road to cope with approximately 200 people, thus avoiding any contamination of the existing red gum forest? Again, Mr. Bean.
Yeah, whilst Council agrees that sewage should not be allowed to spill or leach into any waterway resulting in contamination, the infrastructure that you're seeking to get clarification around in the question is a matter for the Sewer Authority, which in this case is Western Water, to consider and approve. Council will forward your specific requests and concerns onto Western Water to consider and determine on the matter. Thank you.
Next question is from Sam Ferrugia. Is Mr. Ferrugia... Right. His question reads, how can the Melton Council allow for the Recycle Centre to poison their residents? Question mark. Why are all my sheep being diagnosed with pink eye as my sheep are kept right next door to the Recycle Centre? Again, Mr. Bean to respond.
Thanks, Sam. Look, Council staff are not aware of any issues in relation to the health of your livestock being on your neighbouring property to the Council. The Melton facility is required to operate strictly within the Environmental Protection Authority guidelines, and you will be contacted by a council officer requesting further information in the immediate future. Thank you.
Next question is from Mark Mifsud. Mr. Mifsud is in the meeting. Question reads, and again this is in relation to the planning application in Melton-Gisborne Road, can you please confirm that the Hebel fence between our property, 1909 and 1911, is going to start at the front of the property and extend to the eastern extremity of the playground area? Again, Mr. Bean.
Look, thanks, Mark. Whilst this is a matter that's before Council for consideration this evening, I can't necessarily make a determination on Council's behalf, but... the point that you've raised in your question will form part of Council's consideration of the application in the report considered in tonight's agenda. Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor's in the meeting. Question reads, what is the current status of the Melton Highway Committee and what feedback about its progress can be made available to the public? Again, Mr. Bean to respond.
Thanks, David. As you may be aware, David, or you may not, but I presume you since you come to every council meeting. In December of last year, Council formally resolved that the Melton Highway Advisory Committee be absorbed within a committee reference group to be established by Council for the purpose of advocating for and implementing transport priorities as defined within the City of Melton Integrated Transport Strategy known as Moving Melton. Council officers are to prepare a draft terms of reference for such a committee to be brought forward for ratification at a future meeting of Council. The timing for this, David, is we're working towards the forthcoming election and the election of new councillors, which will then determine representation on these sorts of committees. So it's sort of between now and November that we're proposing to have this formally adopted and ratified. Thank you.
Next question is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, Councillor Justin Mamarella, during his term on council, advocated strongly to have the crime statistics for Melton not be inclusive of offences which occur within prisons located in the City of Melton. Do the current crime stats for our municipality reflect situations which take place in correctional care? Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, to respond.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. My understanding is they're still in the crime statistics report. Saying that, the Council has drafted a letter to the Crime Statistics Agency in 2016. Responding in a response to the potential of the removing of that information. We have correspondence back from the agency in April 2016, this year, The agency informed officers that following the analysis, it was determined that the crimes occurring within the prisons contributed to approximately 1% of the offences recorded within the Melton local government area. Whilst the agency will not be removing the prison-related crimes from the overall statistics reported for the LGA, they will, however, publish an explanatory note in the Melton statistics indicating the prison-related offences that are included in that report, saying that we will follow up with our inspector and provide you a written response, David.
Madam Mayor, I draw to your attention that we are now up to those questions relating to the matter in which you've declared a conflict of interest.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. I will be removing myself for the remainder of public question time, as well as item number 10.1, Telecommunications Tower, Brookside Reserve, Vodafone, and I'll ask Councillor Cugliari, Deputy Mayor, to take the chair. Thank you, Councillor Cugliari.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tory.
The next question is from Seamus Ryan. And Mr. Ryan in the gallery? Yes. Question reads, in relation to the Planning Officer's report, Delegate's report, relating to permit number PA2015/4769, in Council's consideration of a planning permit to Vodafone last year, and as indicated by the Planning Officer in the report, can Council confirm that a telecommunications tower, bracket, a standalone mobile phone tower, close bracket, is specifically exempt from notice and review? If this is the case, can Council provide a link to the section in the development plan overlay, bracket master plan, that confirms this is the case? And Peter Bean, General Manager Planning and Development, to reply.
Thanks, Seamus. Look, the land is subject to a development plan overlay control. In this regard, the Melton Planning Scheme requires that before a planning permit is issued for the use, development or subdivision of any land affected by a development plan overlay control, there must first be a development plan prepared and approved for the land, which generally will guide the future use and development of the land. In accordance with the requirements of the Melton Planning Scheme, an application under any provision of the scheme which generally is in accordance with an approved development plan is exempt from specified sections of the notice, decision and review rights of the Planning and Environment Act 1987. However, which is this instance here, where an application is on council land, the Melton Planning Scheme requires that an application is to be advertised to adjoining landowners. The application was advertised by mail, signs were on the land and also contained within the local newspaper. Even with this notification, because of the development plan overlay provisions, an application is still exempt from the decision and review processes, not the notification rights, of the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Council will provide you a copy of the development plan overlay controls affecting the land, which conform this in this case in our written response. Thank you.
The second question from Mr. Ryan reads, if the same proposal, Vodafone's application for a permit to build a mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, hyphen, planning permit PA2015/4769, was exempt from notice and review, why did Council go through the process of sending letters to all residents, businesses and schools within 300 metres of the site, as well as printing an ad in the local paper and erecting three signs for a two-week period? Surely this would have been completely unnecessary in this specific instance. Again, Mr. Bean.
Yep. Look, thank you, Seamus. As I've just explained in detail in the previous question, the relevant clause within the Melton Planning Scheme required that Council had to give notice due to it being Council-owned land, and Council satisfied that requirement. Thank you.
The next question is from Ali Barrichello, who's in the gallery. Question reads, can Council please inform us how many monopoles, bracket mobile phone towers, close bracket, are situated near schools and sports clubs, bracket within 300 metres, close bracket, within the City of Melton? Peter Bean to provide that response.
Thanks, Ellie. It's my understanding that there are four mobile phone towers situated within 300 metres of schools and or sports club within the City of Melton. These are located at Brookside Recreation Reserve, which is the matter under discussion at the moment, the Melton Waves Car Park, the former Victoria University site and Woodgrove Shopping Centre. Thank you.
And second question from Ms. Barrichello is, are there any new applications for further installations of monopoles within the City of Melton? And if so, how many and where are their intended locations? Again, Mr. Bean.
Ellie, there are 8 further applications for telecommunications towers currently within the municipality that have either a pre-existing approval or are currently going through the planning process. The pre-existing approvals where towers have been approved but are yet to be built are at 74 to 100 Centenary Avenue, Kurrunjang, which is the Kurrunjang Recreation Reserve, 799 High Street, Melton West, 115 Tenterfield Drive, Burnside Heights, which is the Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve, 1646 Melton Highway, Plumpton, which is behind Trethowan's Nursery, 43 Ferris Road, Melton South, and 28 The Gateway Drive, Melton. Those still going through the planning processes are located at 142 Hume Drive, Taylor's Hill, which has been the subject to current council discussions. It's a Melbourne water tank site, and a 1200 Mount Cottrell Road, Melton South. Thank you.
Next question is from Devonand Boehm, who's in the gallery. Question reads, if council is unable to show that the mobile phone tower currently built at Brookside Recreation Reserve in Caroline Springs had an exemption from notice and review in relation to the planning permit, will council now cancel this permit given the fact that the vast majority of residents knew nothing about the application Vodafone had submitted to council, and to also avoid possible future legal action from the local community? Again, Mr. Bean, to respond.
Look, thank you for the question. In respect to the fact that I've fundamentally answered the significant part of this portion as far as council's requirements under the development plan requirement and its exemption under Section 67 of the Melton Planning Scheme in regard to its requirement to provide notification for council-owned land, I won't necessarily go into that again, but on the basis of what I've provided for previous questions this evening, in terms of the cancellation of the permit, based on whether we should or shouldn't have done it, it would be unlikely that we would cancel the permit. Thank you.
Next question from Mr. Bowen is, given that Melton Shire has allowed Vodafone to erect a microwave tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve under a DA application, light pole replacement like for like, I would like to know if Vodafone submitted one DA application for the light pole replacement and another separate application for the electrical control room, since there are two completely separate structures. And given that Melton Shire has allowed Vodafone to erect a microwave tower electrical control room at Brookside Recreation Reserve, will council accept liability if any kid accidentally gets electrocuted? While coaching soccer, I've personally had to tell off a few teenagers trying to open the control room. Again, Mr. Bean.
Look, thank you for that. I'll just break it down into two parts. The first part was in regard to the DA application. There was one only planning permit application for the pole and for the utilities or the ancillary infrastructure that was required with that, which was for the telecommunications facility and associated equipment shelter. In reference to the lease and council's liabilities thereafter, the lease agreement with Vodafone for the erection and installation of the hardware at any location is that it bears full responsibility in the event that a person should injure themselves. The fact that the facility is located on council land determines that council will always be exposed to any legal proceedings as a third party in the event of any incident potentially, but it is the degree of management and mitigation processes put in place to minimise and or control any harm occurring that determines council's level of exposure. Thank you.
Next question is from Rula Bowen, who's in the gallery. Question reads, in relation to the mobile phone tower permit approval at Brookside Recreation Reserve in Caroline Springs, if council is not prepared to cancel the permit in the public interest, bracket our group's preferred option, is council willing to give notice to Vodafone that due to the level of public outrage to the chosen site of the tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, post-permit and lease approval, council will not be prepared to renew this lease agreement once the initial 5-year period has elapsed, and in doing so, will be abiding by the conditions of the lease agreement bracket, given that there are break periods of 5, 10, 15 years respectively, close bracket. This could also be put forward as an alternative motion by councillors for item 10.1 at the meeting this evening. Just in responding to that, the term of the lease is actually a 20-year lease term. Clause 20.2, which your question primarily refers to, contains a right for the tenant, Vodafone Network Proprietary Limited, to terminate, not a right for the landlord, council, to terminate. Council, under the terms of the lease, can only terminate in pursuant to clause 19 if the tenant is in arrears in rent for 30 days after receiving a notice of demand from the council, or the tenant breaches the lease and fails to remedy the breach within 30 days. There is no power to council to unilaterally end the lease contained within the lease document. And the second question from Ms. Bowen is, in response to the reply to our group by myself, CEO Mr. Colvin Torrey, on 24th of June last in relation to the sporting clubs that use the facilities at Brookside Recreation Reserve, in which Mr. Torrey stated, and I quote, "Sporting clubs are occasional users of reserves and as such are not deemed to be occupiers, and in common with the normal practice in local government in planning matters, are not individually advised of applications such as this," end of quote. Based on this response, can Mr. Torrey please advise what City of Melton regard as the minimum period a sporting club would need to occupy a property in order to be deemed an occupier of the land and worthy of notice and review? Brackets PS. If an entity is considered an occasional user and not a full-time user, then the City of Melton must be able to specify the definition of an occasional user. There is no definition or strict criteria that differentiates between an occasional user and an occupier. It is an assessment of all relevant factors that indicates the appropriate category. At Brookside, all tenant clubs are seasonal or annual users of the facilities under a license agreement from the council as the owner of the property. In such cases, notification to such clubs is via the same process as notification to the general public, which is by notice on the subject site and notice in a newspaper generally circulating in the municipality. And that, Madam Deputy Mayor, concludes public questions.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Okay, so now we will go to item number 10, which is on page 15 for those people in the gallery, and it's resumption of debate of other business carried over from a previous meeting. And it's 10.1, Telecommunications Tower, Brookside Reserve, Vodafone. And it's presented by Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. In presenting this report, councillors would note that at the ordinary meeting of council on the 4th of April, council resolved to enter into discussions with Vodafone regarding the possibility of a relocation of telecommunication infrastructure, being the monopole and associated hardware, at 72 to 80 Caroline Springs Boulevard, Caroline Springs, and obtain a full report of those discussions, including in relation to any other possible sites and associated costs. So this report that's presented to council is a report of that meeting. And, excuse me. The meeting was subsequently held at Vodafone's Port Melbourne offices on Friday the 13th of May. The meeting was attended by council officers, being myself, Ms. Christine Denyer, who's our Manager Legal Services, and Mr. Daniel Hogan, Customer Engagement Manager, and Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager City Design and Environment. Present at the meeting from Vodafone were Mr. Ben Raymond, the Site Acquisition Specialist, Mr. Neil Baez, Regional Manager, and Mr. Richard Webb, Project Manager. Suffice to say that Vodafone representatives advised fairly quickly and without unequivocally that they had no appetite to relocate the tower. They stated they had spent 18 months investigating possible sites in the Brookside area before arriving at the current site, and that site at 72 to 80 Caroline Springs Boulevard had been chosen because it was clearly and decisively the best option available. Their assessment was that on a number of criteria, but not limited to tenure, that is the ability to obtain a lease agreement, and coverage, this site achieved 90% of Vodafone's desired coverage from a new tower in this vicinity, which was way in excess of any of the other evaluated sites. They also noted that a relocation would at a minimum take another 18 months, depending upon the difficulty in obtaining a permit at an alternate site. They also noted that relocating might be seen to create a precedent, given that there are hundreds of mobile phone towers located in similar settings, and an agreement to relocate would potentially open the floodgates. Council officers inquired specifically as to the potential of 402 Clarks Road Rockbank, which has been consistently raised by the group opposing the location of the tower at Brookside. The response from Vodafone to this was that there was no interest whatsoever from the landowner to provide tenure to Vodafone for location of a phone tower on that property. They had in fact scored it as a 0 out of 10 in that category. Accordingly, in Vodafone's assessment, the 402 Clark Road Rockbank site does not in fact constitute an alternate site, and indeed all other sites that were investigated are considered significantly inferior to the current site. On the question of costs, Vodafone representatives advised that establishment costs usually ranged from $500,000 to $600,000, depending upon the difficulty associated with obtaining permits and the terrain, etc., also the availability of power to the site, but could be up to $1 million. And these figures do not take into account the cost of decommissioning the existing monopole, which they had no estimate for. Vodafone advised that it had followed due process and complied with the law and the current science. The levels at the site were well below the maximum. So confident are they of this that Vodafone officers advised that in order to allay residents' concern, Vodafone would be prepared to undertake via an accredited independent testing agency testing of emission levels at various specific locations nominated by council. The sites could potentially be on the ovals and in the school, etc. This offer was made unconditionally and would be a one-off testing process. So, councillors, the recommendation from officers is that this report be noted. The council nominates three locations set out in the executive summary to Vodafone for it to obtain the independent testing of the emission levels. The council receives a report from officers as to the results of the testing as soon as the results become available. And we advise Seamus Ryan, as representative of the residents against the mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve Group, of the detail of the meeting with Vodafone representatives as contained in this report.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Does any councillor require any further clarification on this item?
Yes, I just want to know that if we did go ahead and have the testing sites put into play, what would happen to the results of the tests if they came back like exponentially different than what Vodafone are claiming?
Council would then have to determine what the action it was going to take was. It's hypothetical. So I mean, I really think we should have the results of the tests before we predetermine what the action would be. We would seek advice based upon what the results are.
And do we know how long the time frame would be for the testing to occur?
No, I don't know, Councillor, but I would imagine it wouldn't be a difficult or lengthy process.
Are there any other councillors who require further clarification? No. Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the recommendation, but if I could add an extra dot point on it. When number three says receives a report from officers as to the results of the testing as soon as the results become available, could I just make sure that that report would come to an open council meeting where the members of the public would be able to see what those results were?
Not during this time. Sorry.
So Councillor Carley, I've recorded that part three reads receives a report in open council from officers as the results. Is that?
Yes. Thank you.
So we've got just some wording, some change of wording there for recommendation number three, which is the open council. So now I've got Councillor Carley who is moving that. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay, so I've got Councillor Carley to move it, Councillor Bentley to second it. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Okay, all those in favour of the motion? Then I declare the motion carried.
Madam Chair, may I call for a division?
I call for a division. Those in favour of the motion? Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Bentley and Councillor Cugliari, those who oppose the motion? No one. Thank you. I declare the division carried.
Thank you.
Okay, can we call the Mayor into the chambers?
Thank you. That was good.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari and councillors. We turn our attention to item number 12, presentation of staff reports. Councillor Cugliari.
Oh, sorry. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a motion to block some items, 12.1, 12.2, 12.5, 12.7, 12.17 and accept the officer's recommendation as put.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. We have a motion before us by Councillor Cugliari that councillors block items number 12.1, 12.2, 12.5, 12.7 and 12.17. Do I have a councillor to second that motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda item number 12.3, appointment of a new member to the Heritage Advisory Committee. And this will be presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager, City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to seek approval for the appointment of a new member to the Heritage Advisory Committee. The Melton Heritage Advisory Committee promotes local heritage initiatives, assesses applications for the City of Melton Heritage Assistance Fund and the City of Melton Heritage Awards, and drives programmes that encourage an appreciation of heritage in the City of Melton. In November 2015, as a result of the term of two members ending and the resignation of another member, three of the six community representative positions became vacant. Following a call for nominations, which was advertised on Council's website and in local media, two nominations were received. At its ordinary meeting of December 2015, Council resolved to appoint two community members to the Heritage Advisory Committee, with one position remaining unfilled and to be re-advertised in 2016. An advertisement was put in the Melton Leader for expressions of interest to fill the remaining position in April 2016, which was also promoted on Council's website, Facebook page, and Council received one application. This application was assessed by a panel of Council officers who are not representatives on the Heritage Advisory Committee, and they recommended that the applicant, Frank Sultana, be appointed to the Heritage Advisory Committee, as he demonstrates the recommended skills and experience to serve on the committee. It is therefore recommended that Council approves the appointment of the new member to the Heritage Advisory Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation as a notice of motion?
I'd like to move that motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second?
Happy to second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.4, minutes of the Section 223 Submission Committee held 7th of June 2016, adoption of 2016-17 budget and revised Council Plan 2013 to 2017. And this will be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report effectively seeks for Council to endorse the budget for the 2016-17 financial year along with the revised Council Plan. By way of background, Council might recall on the 2nd of May 2016 at the ordinary meeting, Council considered the draft budget for the next financial year. Some of the highlights that were detailed within that report, Councillors, relate to Council's strong financial position moving into the next financial year, even in a rate-capped environment. And if I can just summarise some of the key elements of the proposed budget, there's proposed to be $6.9 million in net loan repayments, continuation of a pensioner rebate increased to $70 per eligible property, a significant capital works program which includes or consists of $35 million of new works. Council's strong financial position, Madam Mayor, has somewhat resulted from the very positive results Council has received from its strong advocacy over the last number of years. Particularly in the last 12 months or thereabouts, Council has received significant funding from both state and federal level for major contributions to our capital works program through what was then known as the Interface Growth Fund at a state level and the National Stronger Regions Fund from a federal level. There was $11.8 million achieved through that advocacy process, Madam Mayor. Following the Council consideration on the 2nd of May of the draft budget, Council resolved to publicly exhibit the draft budget for a month in accordance with the Act and also to appoint a committee, otherwise known as the Section 223 Committee, to consider the submissions received through that process and to make recommendations to Council on the submissions received on the draft budget and to more broadly make recommendations about the adoption of the final budget. Madam Mayor, attached to the officer's report are the minutes of that committee meeting, and you'll see from there 11 submissions were received to the proposed budget, and there were no submissions received on the revised Council Plan. If I can refer councillors to pages 45, 46 and 47 of the agenda papers, you'll see the summary details of each submission received on the budget, each of the 11 submissions, and the recommendation from the Section 223 Committee. If I can specifically point Council to submission number 7 outlined on page 46, that is in essence the only substantive financial change proposed to the budget resulting from the budget submission, which relates to the Melton Equestrian Park pavilion. Madam Mayor, in summary, the 223 Committee have recommended to Council to adopt the budget with the inclusion of that item that I've just referred to. And if I can refer Councillors to the specific recommendations included in the minutes of the committee, which are tabled as Appendix Number 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any Councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this motion? Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a motion, an alternate motion to the budget. In doing so, I'd like to say that I support the budget 99.99%. It's a fantastic budget this year. It's probably one of the best budgets we've presided over, certainly myself, in the last 8 years. I'm proud of the work that's been done on this by councillors and the officers and the amount of effort that's gone into it. But there is, I was absent for the 2-3, and I would like to just bring up a couple of items that I think should be included in the budget, which have been omitted.
Sure, councillor.
The alternative motion is that council note the minutes in section 2-3 submission committee meeting held on the 7th of June 2016, adopts the recommendations with the exception of recommendation 11, part 2, section 3, advise Melton Central Football Club that the ambulance access and change room access will be addressed as the maintenance items from council's recurrent budget, which I believe I was missing at the 2-3s. I believe that was officers' recommendations. And four, include in the 2016-17 budget $15,000 for funding for fencing and bollard works at Blackwood Drive Reserve, as requested by the Melton Settlers Cricket Club. I would have argued that strongly, considering the amount of break-ins and the safety and the security on Blackwood Drive Reserve. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Just clarifying, that's $15,000.
Correct.
Thank you. Councillors, are there any questions in regards to the alternate motion put before us at this stage? Do I have a councillor to second the alternate motion?
I'd like to second that motion, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. If any councillor wants to speak on this item, it is a significant item if they choose to. I would like to commend my fellow councillors and council officers and the community for their input into the 2016 budget. I believe it's a fair and visionary budget that shows council's commitment in delivering high quality services and infrastructure for our community and our residents for the future. I thank everyone who have been involved in the development of the budget and look forward to delivering it to our community over the next 12 months. And thank you everyone for being involved, all the community groups that were involved in the 2-3 as well. Councillors, we move our attention to 12.6, Growing Suburbs Fund, presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this is a report put forward to you this evening that relates to priorities for our next Growing Suburbs Fund submissions. If you recall, some time ago in 2015, the state government announced what was known at the time as an Interface Growth Fund, which equated to about $50 million for interface councils, which there are 10 of. The council was successful at that time in obtaining $6.32 million out of that $50 million to achieve some of our capital initiatives that are taking place as we speak. In announcement of the state budget in May this year, the Victorian government announced another funding round, a rebranded round, if you like, rather than an interface growth fund. It's titled the Growing Suburbs Fund, with another $50 million for interface councils through a submission process, which there are 10 of. The Growing Suburbs Fund, as branded, is intended to fund ideally a mix of projects that have direct social or economic benefits for communities across the interface areas. It has a focus on community health, well-being and interaction. It has a focus on early education, learning and training. It will have a focus, of course, as it always does, on sport, recreation and leisure. It will have another focus on environmental and climate change resilience and place making or civic amenity and community connecting. So in short, councillors, it is a fair process for officers to prepare for this, but we didn't want to just making submissions off the cuff. There is a fair amount of work to do as officers. There is an assessment criteria, which is outlined on page 349, which there are four, and ranges from why is the project required to who will benefit, what will be delivered, and how will the project be delivered, which is officers will address in the submissions. Times are tight, applications Open on 3rd of June. Applications are scheduled to close on the 29th of July 2016. We have been advised, and the document is attached in the appendix, is that the decision is around August to mid-October from the state government. Announcements from around about November 2016. And, of course, then funding agreements to be executed from the state with the relevant local governments, ideally around November 2016. So rather than go through all the submissions on page 348, councillors, the submissions, which there are nine, are highlighted in priority order from the officer's point of view, are in our capital works programs, and some of them are joint partnership initiatives with some of our partners. The submissions, nine in total, equate to around about $10.5 million in submissions to the state government. It equates to a mix of projects to try and get a good flavour of submissions, from leisure to community submissions to enhancements of parks, etc. And as I said, some of them are our partner projects with the likes of Scouts Environmental Centre, which we applied for in the last round. So I put forward to your councils this evening the nine projects, as I said, from the officer's point of view in priority order, for submission to the state government via the Growing Suburbs Fund. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Councillor Dunn.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I just thought members of the gallery might want to know too, number three, the Botanic Trail, because all the others are pretty self-explanatory.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Botanic Trail is an initiative which was applied for in the last round of the Interface Growth Fund, which it wasn't successful. So it relates to some work over at the Botanic Gardens and the connection over the creek and some other initiatives. We weren't successful last time, but we did get some positive feedback from the state government, so we thought it appropriate that we have another crack at obtaining what will be $400,000 for the project. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Any other further clarification or questions, councillors? Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation as a notice of motion?
I'd like to move it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 12.8, Bridge Road Athletics and Hockey Facility Management Plan Proposal, and this will be presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this is a report obviously related to the hockey athletics facility, or what's known as offices as the Bridge Road Hub in Melton South. It's to present to Council the management plan proposal to the Council for endorsement, and that is attached in Appendix 1. The Athletics Management Plan is a key document guiding the delivery of operations of the Bridge Road Athletics and Hockey Facility, which is known as the plan. It considers and recommends the management options. It also recommends the fees and charges after considering the benchmarking exercise. It undertakes the analysis of surrounding areas and similar projects, the facility's operation, including the schools, the athletics and the carnivals related to that, and obviously talks about the marketing plan and promotion plan. In developing the plan, the review was also taken into consideration the documents outlined on page 367, which there are four of. The management models explored in the plan were direct management by council, the shared management by hockey and the athletics clubs, representative advisory bodies under Melton City Council's management, committees of management, third party or commercial management. The preferred model is management by Melton City Council as officers, as a suitable model for management of the facility, which will allow for anchor tenants, and of course they are the hockey and the athletics club itself, that will focus on delivery and administration. It will consider and have a balanced approach to the user bookings and the process related to that by an independent person, being the council officers. Allow general community requirements to be considered when bookings take effect, and that relates to the allocation and usage. And establish an operational framework that considers the broader council objectives. So it is attached as Appendix 1, councillors. It's a a fair document. It's been a fair piece of work in the last 8 months, I would say, from officers. And we put forward you this afternoon for endorsement of that plan as attached in Appendix 1, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
Yes, Madam Mayor, happy to move this and pretty apt that it comes to council tonight after such a fantastic launch of the facility today. Thank you, Madam
Thank
Mayor.
You, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.9, response to notice of motion 417, free recyclables materials drop-off melt and recycling facility. And this will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening a report in response to notice of motion 417, which Councillor Bentley tabled with Council in relation to the viability, cost and ability of Council to provide a free drop-off service of recyclable materials, in particular paper, cardboard, bottles and cans, at the Melton Recycling Facility. For those who don't know, the Melton Recycling Facility consists of three predominant services, one being the resale centre, which reusable, resaleable household goods can be dropped off at no charge to the person. A permanent drop-off site, formerly known as the Detox Your Home Centre, for the environmentally sustainable disposal of household quantities of batteries, gas bottles, fluorescent lighting and paint. And thirdly, the transfer station, which is what is most familiarly recognised with the facility, for recyclables and residual household waste destined for landfill, and these goods are generally taken at a fee-for-service proposal. The proposal we're discussing or considering this evening is to lift the fee currently paid at the gate of the transfer station for recyclable material. The operation and management of the facility is currently under the a contract that expires on the 30th of June 2018. This contract includes the recovery, transportation and disposal of recyclables, including developing and maintaining markets for recyclate. The contractor also has scavenging rights to all recycling materials, i.e. there is no cost directly returned to council as a result of the sale of recyclable material. Approximately 50% of the material disposed at the transfer station is recyclable material, which equates to about 18,000 tonnes of material per annum. This includes all recyclable, reusable materials such as timber, concrete, green waste, steel and clean fill. For the purposes of this report, the term recyclables refers only to the materials in question in this proposal, which is paper, card, bottles and cans. The introduction of the free drop-off of recyclables at the facility during the term of the current contract would trigger the need for Council to enter into a contract variation with the current service provider. It should be noted that this negotiation will essentially occur in a non-competitive environment and could therefore attract a premium price. There are many factors that will determine the costs and benefits of this proposal, and some of these cannot be accurately assessed until the proposal is implemented. These include, but are not limited to, increased costs due to the likely increase in recyclable material delivered to the facility, capacity of the facility to handle increased volumes, and potential for increased contamination. Given the uncertainty of the three points that I've just raised, council officers have been able to negotiate a free 6-month trial of the proposal with the operator of the facility. The operator has agreed not to increase the base payment to operate the Melton Recycling Facility as a result of this trial. Council officers, however, will put in place a mechanism to track and monitor the following matters during the 6-month trial. And these will be fundamentally around four key areas, which are the level of contamination, the reduction in gate takings, increased transportation costs for the increase in proposed material that will be collected, and obviously the increased volumes that will be delivered. A report will then be provided to Council on the success of the trial and the cost implementations and implications, my apologies, are proceeding with the proposal on a permanent basis. The facility is already set up to receive commingled recyclables, as in paper and cardboard, so therefore there's no additional capital expenditure required to facilitate the proposal. With this in mind, Madam Mayor, I present to Council the recommendation as set out on page 443 of this agenda this evening, which reads as follows. The Council commences a 6-month trial with the provision of a free drop-off service of recyclable materials, in particular paper, cardboard, bottles and cans, at the Melton Recycling Facility. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bean, could you please clarify when this 6-month trial would commence and when it would conclude?
Through you, Madam Mayor, to Councillor Bentley, it's our proposal to start it immediately, as early in July as we can, but it's due to start immediately for a 26-week process.
Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You've negotiated a six-month period with the operator at no charge. Is there any scope to expand that for another, say, 2 months?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Bentley. As the report is presented this evening, the current arrangement with the contractor was for 6 months. The 6 month was what we nominated. We believed that the 26 weeks was a long enough period of time to determine what the true cost of the service would be, not knowing whether the contractor has an appetite to expand it for a further 2 months. I'm not in a position to make that determination here, but obviously the intention was that once the trial period had been completed, we would present a further report to Council on the success, or the level of success, and the cost that was associated with providing this service, to then renegotiate with the contractor the balance of his contract arrangement with the adjustment that's proposed. Thank you.
Any further clarification, councillors? Do I have a mover for this notice of motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move this recommendation with a slight amendment, that Council commence a six-month trial commencing on 1 August 2016 and concluding on 31 January 2017, with the following there, as per the recommendation. I note that to include the Christmas period when there is quite a lot of paper.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this slight amendment to the notice of motion? Do I have a seconder?
I'm happy to second that, and I commend Councillor Bentley on his loose motion. Well done, Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion with the slight amendment carried. Item number 12.10, planning application PA2105/4986, use and development of land for a childcare centre at 1911 Gisborne Melton Road, Kurrinjang. And this will be presented by Mr. Steve Finlay, Acting Manager, Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Finlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This item concerns a proposal to use and develop the land at 1911 Gisborne Melton Road, Kurrinjang, for a childcare centre with associated car parking. The site's approximately 1 hectare in area, is located on the eastern side of the Gisborne Melton Road in Kurrinjang. Contains an existing building which was previously used as a childcare centre, and there's also an existing crush rock car parking area at the front of the site. The land hasn't been used for a childcare centre for approximately 6 years, and the details of the application are that the existing building be retained with no major works proposed to extend the building. Main works to the building will be the internal modification to allow for additional toilets, storage areas and a reception area. Buildings and works associated with the proposal include the sealing of the car park area in the front of the site and the construction of children's playgrounds. And the centre is to operate between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Saturday initially. However, discussions with the applicant have indicated now that they'll be prepared to accept 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday hours. The childcare centre is to accommodate a maximum of 175 children, and there'll be 40 car parking spaces on the site to accommodate the use. The land's in a low-density residential zone, is also affected by an environmental significance overlay owing to a waterway that traverses the site. Approximately three-quarters of the site is affected by the overlay control, and the other relevant planning control applicable to the application is the car parking provisions in the Melton planning scheme, which require for 175 space childcare centre, 38.5 car parking spaces. In fact, 40 are provided on the site to accommodate the use, so it complies in that respect with the planning scheme. The application's gone through a public consultation process, and as a result of that process, there were 14 objections received. The grounds of objection can be summarised generally as follows. The operating hours on Saturdays in particular will impact on the amenity of the area. Other amenity concerns in relation to noise, garbage and waste collection, potential glare from safety and security lighting, vandalism, traffic issues, wastewater treatment, and the car parking numbers, just to name a few. In terms of the referral of the application was referred to a number of internal council departments, council's engineering department and health department, as well as some external authorities, most notably Melbourne Water and VicRoads, and none of these authorities have objected to the application. Indeed, VicRoads require some additional roadworks to occur along Gisborne Melton Road to accommodate the expected level of users to the to the site. In terms of the planning assessment, there's a number of major issues in terms of the use, access, car parking, noise and waste that are addressed. In terms of the use, because the land's in a residential area, it's quite common for such a use as a childcare centre to be located within a residential area. It's noted the previous childcare centre that was on the site accommodated up to 55 children, so this is quite an expansion on what was previously approved on the site, but it's not uncommon for these types of uses to be located in residential areas. Access, given the numbers, was identified as a particular issue. However, as I stated, VicRoads have had a look at the application and have suggested conditions requiring a deceleration lane to be provided on Gisborne Melton Road, and that will form part of the officer recommendation. Car parking complies with the planning scheme. In fact, there's two and more spaces than what's required by the planning scheme. And in terms of the hours of operation, as stated earlier, the applicant's prepared to accept a reduction in the hours as opposed to what was initially submitted with the application to now limit the hours from Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. In terms of wastewater, Council's Health Services area have suggested some conditions that would require the decommissioning of the existing septic system and the installation of a new septic system, which would need to comply with council standards and also EPA codes of practice. The officers have recommended approval on the basis that the proposal is deemed to comply with the relevant state and local planning policies, and the suggested conditions are located at Appendix 6. And the officers therefore have recommended a notice of decision to grant a permit be issued.
Thank you,
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the motion with an amendment. I know there was many, many objections to start with, and Officer Finlay is talked about most of them. I believe that the way they've been addressed, they will allay a lot of the fears of the residents in that area and hopefully to the most of their satisfaction. But there is one item left that I believe is an ongoing problem for one of the adjacent residents. I'd like to move that Council issue a notice of decision to grant a permit generally in accordance with the conditions outlined in Appendix 6 of this report, but with Condition 1A modified to specify that the fence along the northern boundary from the western boundary of the site to the easternmost extent of the outdoor playground area must be replaced with a new Hebel modular fence which has noise attenuation qualities, which will be at least 2 metres in height. The fence to be shown as being painted in a dark colour tone, and colour details are to be provided. The plan must also indicate that the permit holder is to cover all costs associated with the replacement fence and painting. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification to the amended notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second it?
I'll second that motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion with the amendment carried. Item number 12.11, planning application PA2006/1054/3, amended plans associated with a planning permit for a refuse transfer station, materials recycling centre and removal of native vegetation to include a drop cut excavation pit for the materials recycling centre at 852/944 for Plumpton Road, Plumpton, and this will be presented by Mr. Steve Finlay, Acting Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Finlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This particular item relates to a property at 852 Plumpton Road in Plumpton. It's the site of an existing refuse transfer station and materials recycling centre, which was issued at the direction of VCAT on the 25th of June 2007. The use has been operational for quite a number of years, and the operator of that particular facility has now requested an amendment to plans associated with that that particular use, which can basically be summarised as a construction of a drop-cut excavation pit on the northern side of the subject land. Pit will be 110 to 165 metres in length by 100 to 114 metres in width and a depth of 8.2 metres. Pit will be contained within existing work area at the southwest corner of the subject site and will be used to house and screen an existing crushing plant. Small roof structures will also be used to cover the plant equipment. A bund wall of about 5 metres high will be created around the perimeter of the pit, and approximately 171,000 cubic metres of loose rock, soil and clay will be excavated from the pit. Stockpiled materials will be fed into the crushing plant at ground level, processed in the pit and conveyed back to the existing stockpile areas at ground level. There will be no additional off-site truck movements generated by the proposal, and external materials and finishes to house and screen the existing plant equipment will consist of colour bond cladding. The land's in the green wedge zone. Land's also affected by a number of overlay controls, most notably the Melbourne Airport Environs Overlay, which affects part of the eastern portion of the site away from the works area, and also the public acquisition overlay, which is also in the eastern portion of the site and doesn't affect the work area either. The application has been advertised and there were 10 objections received in relation to the application, which the grounds can be summarised generally as dust and noise causing adverse amenity impacts, including health issues to adjoining and surrounding properties, and in particular the Leakes Road Tourist Precinct. Some objectors have raised concerns with the non-compliance of existing planning permit conditions, most notably around landscaping and dust suppression and truck movements, the lack of water facilities on site to keep dust to a minimum, concerns that the proposal will result in the use becoming a tip or a landfill, increased traffic and loss of property values. The application has been referred to Council's Engineering Department and Environmental Services Department, and they have not objected to the application being supported. The proposal has been assessed against the requirements of the state and local planning policies in the Melton Planning Scheme, and officers have found that it's generally compliant with those policies. The application proposes amendments to plans, as I said, and the purpose of it is basically to enable an existing rock crushing plant to be relocated into the pit so it's screened from the view of passers-by and adjoining landowners, and also to control dust emissions. It's also thought that these changes will enable the existing materials recycling centre to operate more efficiently and effectively and minimise adverse impacts on the amenity of surrounding land. There are no plans to expand the current operations of the existing centre beyond what the existing approved area is part of the application. Proposal also does not involve the removal of any native vegetation or adverse impacts on environmental or landscape values. Grounds of objection are acknowledged. Main issues concern dust being generated from the existing facility and the proposed works impacting on the amenity of adjoining land and the perceived lack of adequate measures in place to control or minimise dust. To this end, an environmental management plan has been prepared and approved by Council under the current conditions of the permit, and this EMP contains a number of measures to mitigate the amount of dust generated by the use, including settlement ponds, access to a Melbourne water bore and water trucks on the site. There's been a number of meetings involving some of the objectors, council officers and the permit applicant, and a number of audits in relation to complaints that have been received in relation to the current operations of the site, and council officers that have investigated the site and inspected the land have detected little to no dust coming from the facility at the times that they've been out there. Also, no evidence that there have not been dust suppression measures put into place. The permit applicant has also offered objectors that in the event that dust is an issue, that the objector should contact the permit applicant directly as well as council, and they'll take measures to alleviate the dust issues that seem to be the crux of most of the complaints. Notwithstanding the above, the council officers have recommended that the plans be approved, but with additional conditions that are outlined in the Appendix 6 to the report, which includes some more specific measures around dust suppression and site management. As I said, the permit application has been determined to be compliant with state and local planning policies, and officers have recommended support for the proposal. I now pass it over to you, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Finlay, when council officers actually go out, do you give notice to the applicant that you'll be going there to inspect his land?
Thank you, councillor. Not all the time. Sometimes council officers do attend unannounced, and if the operator of the facility is prepared to let the officers on to inspect, then that's what we do. If there's no approval given by the operator to attend the site on demand, council has to give 2 days' written notice of an inspection.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In this case, was the applicant notified that council was coming?
Council officers have attended the site unannounced previously, and they have been permitted to go onto the property to inspect.
Okay, thank you.
Does any councillor require any further clarification?
I do.
Councillor Quagliari.
There is a white tower located at the back of this property. Are you able to tell me what that is used for?
I'm not familiar with the white tower. I'm not familiar with
Sorry,
the white
Mario.
Tower on the property. Sorry, councillor.
And I've also got another question. The depth of this pit, which you said before was 8.2 metres, would you say that it is like a three-storey building?
8.2 metres is generally around about a three-storey high build, yes.
Thank you.
Councillors, any further questions or clarifications? Mr. Finlay, I just wanted to know, do we have like a logbook or a documentation of when our officers actually visit?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Our planning compliance officers, when they go out, do a investigation audit report. So, yes, that does happen.
Okay. And at the moment, does the permit require dust management plan to be in place?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At the time the permit was issued in 2007 at the direction of VCAT, there was no specific condition requiring a dust suppression plan. It does form part of the environmental management plan that has been approved, but it probably needs to be tightened up more so than what it currently is.
Sure.
And that's why officers have recommended in Appendix 6 the inclusion of an additional condition requiring a specific dust suppression plan.
And regardless of this one, this item, whether it goes through or is accepted or not accepted, is there any way that council, because obviously there's dust issues that residents are concerned about, is there any way that council could work with the current permit and owners to develop perhaps a dust management plan in its current form, regardless of whether this application would go forward or not?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's something that we can put to the permit applicant to address, and if they're agreeable to an amended plan being submitted in terms of a dust suppression plan, then that's something that we have the discretion to
okay.
address.
Thank you. Councillors, any further questions?
Madam Mayor, I actually have a further one, and just in the report it states that a sign has been erected to the entrance to the subject land advising all vehicles that no left turn onto Plumpton Road is permitted. Well, that was that just done recently, or was that supposed to be done during their the first time they got their permit?
Thank you, Councillor. I'm not sure when the actual sign was placed on the entrance. I'm not sure if it was recently or it was part of the original proposal that they had to do that. Certainly hasn't been done as a result of this particular application, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, thank you.
Councillors, any further questions? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion? Councillor Carley.
Madam Mayor, I would like to move not the officer's recommendation. I have an alternate motion. A, that Council issue a notice of refusal to grant an amendment to the permit on the following grounds. One, the proposal will intensify the existing uses on the land, leading to further amenity issues for existing landowners and residents in the surrounding area. Two, the construction of the proposed pit will exacerbate dust and noise nuisance to surrounding landowners and residents. Three, the proposal will entrench existing uses which are considered to be inappropriately located on the land. Four, the proposal has a potential to detrimentally affect existing businesses within the Leakes Road tourist precinct and surrounding agricultural uses. And B, in the event that the permit applicant lodges an application for review against Council's refusal with the Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal, Council officers advise VCAT the Council will require additional conditions to be added to the permit to cater for dust suppression, site and environmental management, drainage and stormwater management, and site rehabilitation.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who requires further clarification in regards to the alternate motion put before us? Do I have a councillor to second the alternate motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the alternate motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the alternate motion carried. Item number 12.12, planning application PA2003/504, amended permit associated with a 7-lot subdivision at 570 Parwin Exford Road, Parwin. And this will also be presented by Mr. Steve Finlay, Acting Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Finlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This application concerns an amendment to permit associated with 7-lot subdivision at 570 Parwin Exford Road, Parwin. Subject land is known as Willison Farm, has an area of approximately 154.4 hectares and is subject to a permit that was issued in August 2004 for a 7-lot subdivision consisting of one primary lot of 124 hectares and six secondary lots of approximately 5 hectares each. There's been a number of extensions to the permit, with the most recent one being on the 30th of May this year, where Council resolved to extend time on the permit such that it expires on the 14th of July 2018. The permit holder has now requested that the permit be amended by deleting three components of the existing permit. Deletion of condition 3B of the permit, which requires that each secondary lot in the subdivisions connected to reticulated water supply at the cost of the applicant and to the satisfaction of the relevant water authority. Deletion of condition 3C from the permit, which requires that the land may not be further subdivided under the subdivision formula in the Greenwood zone of the Melton Planning Scheme. And deletion of condition 3C part 2 from the permit, which requires the construction of a trotting track adjacent to proposed small lots and which is to be accessible and maintained by the owners of those small lots. Now, in respect to the latter two dot points, it should be noted that these two requirements form part of a Section 173 agreement, which has already been registered on title. Permits have been amended on two previous occasions, which include one of those being to the expiry date of the permit, and there's also been a previous request, which Council has considered, to delete the requirement to provide a reticulated water supply to the secondary lots in the subdivision as required by the permit, and this was refused by Council on the 20th of July 2009. So this, one of the components of the current amendment, is something the Council's already previously considered, and this is a second go at basically getting rid of the requirement to provide reticulated water. The land's in a green wedge zone, also affected by an environmental significance overlay, and there are a number of relevant sections of the Planning and Environment Act, which are outlined on page 502, that are relevant to the application. In terms of public consultation, the application wasn't advertised owing to the minor nature of the application. However, it was referred to Western Water as the relevant water supply authority, who are responsible for providing advice to Council, and they do not support the requirement to delete the condition about reticulated water from the permit. Now, because Western Water are a determining referral authority under the planning scheme, the Planning and Environment Act requires that Council must refuse the application in that regard. Also, the deletion of the reticulated water supply requirement from the permit is contrary to Council's rural land use policy, clause 22.08 of the planning scheme, which specifically requires that all secondary lots in rural subdivisions utilising the formula in the green wedge zone required to connect to reticulated water and have sealed road access. So if this requirement were to be deleted from the permit, it would actually breach Council policy. In respect to the Section 173 agreement, the request to delete the condition requiring that no further subdivision occur on the site is actually also a breach of the planning scheme. The schedule to the green wedge zone specifically says that anyone getting the benefit of subdivision utilising the formula in the green wedge zone must also enter into a Section 173 agreement, which requires that the land may not be further subdivided utilising that formula. So to actually delete that requirement is also a breach of the planning scheme, and it just can't be supported. There's been no justification given in terms of the deletion of Condition 3C Part 2 from the permit. I could also let councillors know that there's also a new process, or relatively new process, for the consideration of amending or ending Section 173 agreements, but in this case, Council just can't support the amendment as sought. Council officers have advised that there's no option but to refuse the application, and have therefore recommended that the application be refused in accordance with the grounds of refusal outlined at Appendix 5 of the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation as put, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item 12.13, planning application PA2105/5055 and development plan application DP2016/02, development of three double-storey dwellings at 69 Allenby Road, Hillside. And this will be presented by Mr. Steve Finlay, Acting Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Finlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This particular item is a dual application for and the approval of a development plan and also the consideration of an application for a planning permit for three double-storey dwellings at 69 Allenby Road in Hillside. Subject site's a corner site that fronts Allenby Road and also has a secondary frontage to Melly Drive to the east. It's a generally rectangular-shaped parcel of land, 680 square metres, currently vacant and devoid of any vegetation. The surrounding area is characterised predominantly by single-storey dwellings. There are a limited number of attached two-storey dwellings further east along Allenby Road, and there's a mix of detached and attached dwellings within the and multi-dwelling developments within the surrounding area. Proposed dwellings are to be constructed of brick render with pitch-tiled roofs, and the application involves three double-storey dwellings, with one of the dwellings having frontage to Allenby Road and two addressing Tumeli Drive to the east. Lands in a general residential zone, also affected by a development plan overlay, hence the dual nature of the application, which is also considering the approval of a development plan for the site. And there's also a number of particular provisions in the planning scheme that are relevant to the application, most notably those around car parking and res code. The application has been assessed against Council's housing design guidelines and also res code, and the officers deem that the application generally conforms with Council policy as well as state planning policy. The application's gone through an informal notification process given the development plan overlay, and there were five objections received. Grounds of objection can be summarised as follows. Proposal is out of character of the area. Dwelling height and bulk is excessive. Insufficient car parking on the site. Increased traffic, overshadowing, overlooking, adverse noise impacts, reduction in property values, and unsightly premises currently with the proposed fence. Application has been referred to a number of internal departments for comment and advice, most notably the urban design team and the engineering department, and any concerns that they had have been addressed by the application. Proposals, as I said, been assessed against relevant state and local planning policies and it's been deemed to be compliant with those policies. In respect to car parking, the subject land is required to provide 6 on-site car parking spaces, and it actually does do that. It also complies with the general objectives and standards of res code. The officers have recommended that the application be supported and that council approve the development plan, however, put a time limit of 2 years on that approval for the works to commence, and secondly, to issue a planning permit for the proposal, subject to the conditions outlined in Appendix 6 of the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the item?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.14, planning application PA2016/5177, two lot subdivision at 632-650 Mount Cottrell Road, Melton. This will be presented by Mr. Steve Finlay, Acting Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Finlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This application is for a two-lot subdivision at 632-650 Mount Cottrell Road, Mount Cottrell. Subject site is an area of 12 hectares and is located on the western side of Mount Cottrell Road. Contains an existing dwelling and outbuildings located close to the northern boundary of the site. The remainder of the site is developed with a horse training track and paddocks, and the site is within the future Melton East Precinct Structure Plan area. Precinct structure plan for this particular area has not been prepared to date. The application proposes a two-lot subdivision of the site. Proposed lot one is located along the eastern boundary of the site, or the frontage, with the exception of a 10-metre wide access way proposed for lot two. Has a frontage to Mount Cottrell Road of approximately 197 metres, and total area of the lot being 2 hectares. Lot one would contain the existing dwelling. Proposed lot 2 would form the balance of the land with a total area of 10 hectares, and access to the lot would be via a 10-metre wide driveway. And lot 2 would contain the existing horse training track and outbuilding. Now, there's been a previous application for this particular site. On the 14th of July 2015, Council considered a planning application for a two-lot subdivision and resolved to issue a refusal of that particular application. difference between the previous application and this current application relates to the orientation of proposed Lot 1. Planning controls and strategic location of the site have not changed since the previous permit application. It should be noted that Council's decision has been appealed by the applicant. It's currently the subject of a VCAT hearing. Now, at this point in time, councillors, I must draw your attention to an amendment that is required to page 549 of the officer's report, which currently states that the hearing is scheduled for the 1st of July 2016. VCAT has advised now that that matter has been adjourned and will be heard on the 19th of August 2016. The land's in an urban growth zone and not affected by any overlay controls. The proposal has not been advertised because the officers have recommended a refusal of the application. Application has been referred to a number of internal and external authorities. And I guess the main issues are that in terms of the preparation of the Melton East Precinct Structure Plan not having commenced as yet, it's considered that the application will prejudice the future use and development of the land and the preparation of the PSP for the area. And there's really no difference to the previous application that the council resolved to refuse. So the officers have considered the application and determined to recommend that the application be refused on the grounds of refusal as outlined in Appendix 5 of the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation as a notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll move the recommendation as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the notice of motion? Councillor Dunn. Councillors, we enter into debate. Councillor Turner, you have the first point of call.
Madam Mayor, I reserve my right to talk to later.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On page 561, we have the grounds of refusal, which is number one, the proposal is contrary to the purpose and decision guidelines of the Urban Growth Zone, Clause 3.7 of the Melton Planning Scheme. And yet on page 549, we have that the permit required to subdivide land, a permit may only be granted to create smaller lots if the proposal meets one of the three criteria. And it states that this application meets the first criteria as it creates a lot for an existing dwelling and is a two-lot subdivision. We also have the grounds of refusal 2 and 3. The proposal creates a small fragmented lot of 2 hectares, which has the potential to prejudice the preparation and implementation of a future PSP, and the proposal has the potential to prejudice the logical, efficient and orderly future urban development of the land. And yet we have on page 550 from the Metropolitan Planning Authority that they state that although the land is currently within the Melton East Precinct, which planning has not yet commenced, the proposed size of the two lots is unlikely to detrimentally impact on the future planning for this precinct. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any other councillor want to speak for the notice of motion? Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The fragmentation of this land is not ideal in these circumstances. We are looking to develop these throughout into the future. And as pointed out by the officer's recommendation, the fragmentation will prejudice the future development of this land. I don't wish to see this, nor with any other lot around that area, having huge amounts of subdivision throughout there, creating huge amounts of lots. And this, unfortunately, just goes to fragment the land. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any other councillor wish to speak before Councillor Turner speaks? I would also like to rise in regards to what the VCAT decision was to a very similar application. The VCAT officer on the 28th of April says, I therefore accept that the subdivision is unlikely to prevent a precinct structure plan from being adopted and implemented per se, but the aim is to achieve urban development in an effective and orderly way, and the presence of the proposed 2-hectare dwelling lot and a separate balance lot in this location will add to the potential to prejudice the logical, efficient and orderly future urban development of the land. I also concur with Councillor Bentley. There probably isn't a potential to prejudice a PSP if there's only one piece of land being developed or subdivided. However, if everyone does that in the area, and if we allow one, we need to allow all of them to go through. I believe that if there's probably one or two, it probably will not prejudice. However, we have to look at the future of what potentially could happen, and therefore I agree with Councillor Bentley. Councillors, does anyone wish to speak before I hand it over to Councillor Turner to have the final call? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Basically, I support the officer's recommendation, especially in point three, where the proposal, in my opinion, as well as the officer's opinion, has the potential to prejudice logical, efficient and orderly future development in this area. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Debate has closed. Councillors, before us we have a notice of motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, I declare the motion carried.
Madam Mayor, can I ask for a division, please?
Councillor Dunn has asked for a division. Councillors, all those in favour, please raise your hand. All those for the motion is Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Cugliari. All those against, Councillor Dunn. And the motion is carried. Sorry, the division is carried. 12.15 PA 2106/51 18, expansion to Melbourne Regional Landfill at 408/546 Hopkin Road, Truganina. This will be presented by Mr. Steve Finlay, Acting Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Finlay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This particular item concerns an application for expansion of the Melbourne Regional Landfill to advise that it's been called in by the Minister for Planning and is being processed by officers from the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning. Council can make a submission to the application before the end of notification period, which is on the 16th of July 2016. So, in essence, Council has received an application for the refuse disposal, buildings and works and native vegetation removal at the existing Melbourne Regional Landfill. And in April of this year, a letter directing the application be called in by the Minister for Planning was received by Council. The Minister for Planning considered that the application raised a major policy issue and that the determination of the application may have substantial effects on the achievement or development of planning objectives. The effect of this calling in of the application by the Minister for Planning is that he is now the responsible authority or the planning authority responsible for consideration of the proposal. And the Council has no further role apart from making a submission to the application as part of the notification process and presenting its case to a future planning panel. Public notification of the application commenced on the 14th of June and is due to end on the 16th of July. As the next ordinary Council meeting is on the 25th of July, which is after the notification period, it will be necessary for Council to convene a special Council meeting on the 11th of July 2016. This meeting will just be to consider Council's submission in relation to the application. DELWEP officers advise that all submissions received will be referred directly to the planning panel for consideration, and it appears that likely that a panel will be conducted, a directions hearing towards the end of July, and a panel hearing will occur in late August, early September. So in order for Council to forward its submission to the Minister before the closing date for submissions, Council officers are recommending a special Council meeting be convened on the 11th of July to consider a submission in relation to the application for the landfill. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Councillors, do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I'd like to move it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. 12.16 C.162, amendment to the Melton Planning Scheme, Mount Atkinson and Tarni Plains Precinct Structure Plan Council submission, presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager, City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present Melton City Council's submission to Planning Scheme Amendment C162, which relates to Mount Atkinson and Tarni Plains Precinct Structure Plans. The Metropolitan Planning Authority released Amendment C162 to introduce Mount Atkinson and Tarni Plains Precinct Structure Plan into the Melton Planning Scheme. The amendment was on formal exhibition until Monday, the 30th of May 2016, with Melton City Council given an extension to allow for the submission to be considered at this meeting of Council. All affected parties had an opportunity to make their own submissions to the MPA on the amendment, including the Mount Atkinson and Tarni Plains landowners, and details of consultation and notification undertaken by the MPA is contained in Section 5 of this report. The PSP, which can be found at Appendix 1, was developed in consultation with council officers, state agencies and other key stakeholders. It covers an area of approximately 1,530 hectares, and the area is bounded by the Western Freeway to the north, Hopkins Road to the east, Middle Road to the south, and the future Outer Metropolitan Ring Road reservation to the west. The Planning Scheme Amendment will introduce a number of key new elements into the Melton Planning Scheme, as outlined on page 565 of this report and in Appendix 2, including inserting a new schedule, Schedule 9, to Clause 37 of the Urban Growth Zone, which sets out the land use and development controls for the precinct and requires all land use and development to be generally in accordance with the Mount Atkinson and Tarni Plains PSP. The PSP sets out the vision and provides a land use planning framework for the future development of the area, which includes residential and employment land, with expected development of approximately 6,700 dwellings, resulting in a projected population of around 18,500 people and an expected delivery of around 18,000 jobs. A summary of the key components of the PSP are provided on page 566 of this report. There are a number of key issues which are considered to have an impact on Council's ability to implement the PSP and must be resolved prior to Council providing support for the amendment. These issues are outlined within this report and detailed in Appendix 3, but in summary include the lack of any clear direction around the staging of development to ensure that timely provision of infrastructure and the need for the PSP to address this issue, the lack of traffic modelling to support the road network that is set out in the plan, given the potential impacts of an insufficient road network and what could have on accessibility, safety and amenity, Council suggests that a further meeting with MP and Vic Roads is required. The inappropriate application of the residential growth zone across the entire precinct. This isn't in accordance with the vision set out within the PSP, nor does it accord with the strategic work undertaken to develop the PSP, including community needs assessments, and therefore should not be supported. In addition, the PSP appears to have formed a position on the proposed landfill discussed in the previous agenda item to the east of the PSP prior to a detailed assessment of the current plan and permit application and works approval. Given the complexity of the issues regarding the proposed landfill expansion and the possible impacts on the PSP, the PSP should identify the area that may potentially be impacted by the landfill as a potential investigation area or similar. Following from that, the existing quarry is recognised in the PSP and the land use acknowledged, and land use proposed in the PSP respond to the buffer. However, there is a concern about the lack of clear direction in the schedule as it relates to the use and development of the affected land, which may create issues at a planning permit stage, and as such, Council requests further discussions with the relevant state agencies. There is also a concern about the proposed mixed use to be located within the pipeline measurement length, which relates to a gas pipeline and Hopkins Road, and the uses that are allowed as of right within this zone, which may conflict with what is permitted under the relevant Australian standards. As Council is not the technical expert in this field, Council requests that the MPA seeks the pipeline operator's advice in relation to this matter and the PSP be amended accordingly. Other issues mentioned in the submission also relate to pedestrian crossings of the rail corridor and the Western Freeway, and that they should be incorporated into the PSP with a clear commitment from state government for the delivery due to the safety issues associated with the crossing of these significant pieces of infrastructure. Of particular concern is the lack of information regarding the new infrastructure contributions plan. The Mount Atkinson and Tarnate Plains PSP is the first of the PSPs in the City of Melton to be subject to an infrastructure contributions plan rather than a development contributions plan, and they will replace the old DCP system for newer PSPs. The Act, which legislates ICPs, commenced on the 1st of June and has inserted new provisions into the Planning Environment Act. However, much of the detail of the new ICP system will be found in a ministerial direction that is still under preparation and hasn't been released. Accordingly, there is no clear guidance on standard levy amounts, the list of infrastructure which these levies can provide a contribution towards, or guidelines on how the ICP should be administered by councils. In the absence of the ICP information being available, providing full support for the final version of the PSP prior to an ICP being prepared presents a potential risk to council given the financial risks associated with the delivery of infrastructure. Based on this, it is recommended that Council endorse and submit Appendix 3 to the Metropolitan Planning Authority requesting changes to the proposed Planning Scheme Amendment C162 and write a letter to the Metropolitan Planning Authority advising that Melton City Council cannot provide full support for Amendment C162 until the Infrastructure Contributions Plan for Mount Atkinson and Tarnate Plains has been prepared and subject to a Planning Scheme Amendment process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Councillors, does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the notice of motion?
I'd like to move it, Madam Mayor, and good on the council for running to the MPA and asking for more information.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll be seconding, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to agenda item number 12.18.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to remove myself from chambers, as I explained earlier.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. May the records please show that Councillor Cugliari is removing herself from chamber for this item. Councillors, item 12.18, Council's submission to Infrastructure Victoria's draft option paper, All Things Considered, Exploring Options for Victoria's 30-Year Infrastructure Strategy, presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager for City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present Melton City Council's submission to Infrastructure Victoria's draft options paper, All Things Considered. This paper will form the basis of a draft infrastructure strategy that's expected to be released later in 2016 that will outline infrastructure priorities within Victoria going forward to accommodate future growth and development. The draft options paper has been released for public comment, with submissions closing on the 17th of June 2016, with Melton City Council granted an extension until the 28th of June to allow the submission to be considered at this meeting. The three documents that were released for comment include All Things Considered, which is the framework document providing high-level guidance, Draft Options Book, which considers over 200 options in terms of infrastructure priorities across the whole of Victoria, and details on funding and finance in a supplementary document that was the third document released. All Things Considered has been structured to provide responses to the 19 challenges that state government feel Victoria is likely to face over the next 30 years in the provision of infrastructure. These challenges include matters on how to address infrastructure demands in areas with high population growth, managing pressures on landfill and waste recovery facilities, and improving the resilience of critical infrastructure. It considers a number of scenarios, including West Side Story, which looks at how to rebalance investment to the West, and it also includes over 200 options that could address the infrastructure challenges outlined in these 19 areas. The draft documents are generally supported, subject to the consideration of the proposed changes outlined in this report and Appendix 1 to this report. In particular, council officers are supportive of the scenario which has been developed to evaluate the options, particularly West Side Story. However, feel that West Side Story is unduly focuses on the City of Wyndham and inner councils in the Western Region, and that it should be expanded to include references to the City of Melton, including the proposed Tooler Metropolitan Activity Centre, the Western Intermodal Freight Terminal, and the State Significant Western Industrial Precinct. Also of note in the recommendations is the requirement to include a couple of new options, which are set out in detail on page 810 of this report and in Appendix 1, but in summary include expansion to health services to provide a health precinct in the Western Metropolitan Corridor to meet the demands of the high growth in the area, upgrades to growth area highways, specifically the Melton Highway and Western Freeway, and to look at benchmarking infrastructure in growth areas so that it actually aligns with growth, population growth rather than other factors. It should also be noted that council officers don't support the option to centralise the planning scheme. This goes beyond the remit of an infrastructure body and is recommending a fundamental reform to the planning system and provides no clear direction on how this would be achieved. In addition, further investigation is required on how to manage the pressure on landfill and waste recovery facilities to move the focus from landfill and try and look at options that relate more to waste recovery to reduce the amount of waste ending up in landfill sites. Some issues have fundamental financial implications on council potentially, and the submission has been drafted to highlight these and seeks to minimise any risk to council in this respect, and seeks for state government to identify the roles and responsibilities of each of the option and where the finances would be coming from. In this context, it is recommended that Council endorses Melton City Council's submission to Infrastructure Victoria as presented at Appendix 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Ms. Mellon, I have a question on page 820 in regards to response to increasing pressure on healthcare, particularly due to ageing, 1.6. We're talking about the health, most of the precinct around health being in Footscray, Sunshine and Werribee. Does it say anywhere in this report, obviously because it's a 30-year document, have we included anywhere in this document with a view to have a local hospital within the next 30 years in our local area?
Madam Mayor, we haven't specifically mentioned a hospital, but we have in a number of areas talked about the need for a Western Metropolitan Corridor, and in that text it says this includes a public hospital with appropriate facilities for the future population growth in this corridor.
When we say the West is, sorry, just a further question, when we say the West, is that, are we specifying just generally in the West or in Melton?
In the Melton area.
Melton area. So there is provision there. We have specified for an actual hospital.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check. Councillors, any further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation as a notice of motion?
Happy to move it, Madam Mayor. It's been a great deal of work going into this. I just commend officers and Matthew Milburn in particular for the work that's gone into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. And if somebody could call Councillor Cugliari back in. Councillors, moving our attention to agenda item number 13, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. And I'll start off with Councillor Turner.
That's better. Other bodies, committees, yeah.
committees.
I was getting mixed up with this. A couple of committees for the month. The LAC meeting, I attended that, but I didn't attend for long. I had other places to go. Councillor Bentley, I'm sure, has got a report on that because it was his first meeting of that committee. I also attended the Milton Reservoir Development Advisory Group. I'll leave that for Councillor Dunn. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 16th of June, I attended the Early Learning Years Partnership meeting, and the guest speaker was Catherine Watkin-Nolan, who was the Australian Early Development Census speaker, who goes around to let us know. And the figures, Madam Mayor, I say, were no surprise. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Turner alluded to, I went to the Leisure Advisory Committee, my first meeting, so it was fantastic to meet everybody. There was three main presentations that were given. First was on the Bridge Road facility that was opened today. The second was on our open spaces policy, which we adopted a little while ago. And the third was on the lawn bowls review and consultation that's going to be undertaken with regards to what lawn bowls facilities we need within our city. And it was a great, the committee had a positive response to all of those, and it was really, all of that was positive feedback with those. So there isn't really much to report on that, other than that the Leisure Advisory Committee is commending our efforts in that way. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was involved in the monthly responsive grants assessment panel, which only had one application. Again, I encourage community groups and organisations to apply for money and to support them to lead projects and initiatives that provide a community benefit. I also attended the Mayoral Charity Fund Advisory Committee meeting, and there were discussions in regard to the process in regards to the funds, and I'll leave all the rest up to you, Madam Mayor, to explain.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended quite a few this last month, so Road to Zero, the Heritage Advisory Committee, the Western Melbourne Tourism, the Melton Reservoir Committee. I also attended the Ainsbury Residents meeting, which is probably not falling under this category, and I also attended the Ravenhall Prison Committee, which is rocking along quite nicely, and I'm quite happy to say that it's very good to know that the people that are actually making the precast cells are actually a local concrete company, Westcon Melton, so I'll give them a plug because they're doing a fantastic job. I think they're up to 78% completed, and they move them at 1 o'clock in the morning. So if you're driving around 1 o'clock in the morning, you'll see these huge things made in our own very backyard. So it's great to see that this item is actually creating quite a fair bit of employment in our area. And it was also interesting to... we've also got a metal... I better give them a plug too. SGA, Team for Sculptural Steel. They also make sure the steel for the prison. And unlike our suburb naming committee or our suburb naming happening, Ravenhall has been officially named as Ravenhall Prison by the Minister for Corrections, I suppose it would be. And it's also interesting to see the collaboration that's going to happen with the YMCA, Kangan Institute, Melbourne City Mission and the Gathering Place. So they're trying to avoid, try to decrease recidivism by not only housing the prisoners, but once they leave, a lot of them go back into the same environment or into the same family, and it's very easy to get back into that same sort of routine. So they're looking at the bigger picture, trying to create some skills for these people, then they return that they've got something to go back into the community with, and to also discuss and work with the family. So they're not going back into the same environment that they've lived to. So all in all, it's looking quite good.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillors, I also attended a few council committees. I attended the Western Base board meeting where we discussed Launch Vic funding submission, anchor tenancies and the business accelerator and co-working memberships. I also attended the Western Region Mayors Forum where Maribyrnong hosted the lunch for the Western Region Mayors. Discussion was around Melbourne Airport Rail Link as well as discussion around rate capping, particularly with the decision by the Minister of Local Government to not approve Wyndham City Council's request to increase their rates from CPI. So there was a lot of discussion about that. We also spoke about Lead West and the Western Distributor and the implications around that project for the councils in the West. I attended with myself and Councillor Turner, I forgot to mention this, with Councillor Ramsey, a CEO Review Committee. I met with the CEO Review Committee and went through the process of the CEO's six-month review, and councillors can expect a report of the council come to council at next month's council meeting. I attended the Mayoral Charity Fund Committee meeting with my Deputy Mayor, Councillor Quagliari, where we did discuss timelines and the delivery of the grants, and this is coming along nicely, and I'm looking forward to the next few months for the delivery of the project. Thank you, councillors. Item number 14, councillor representations and acknowledgements, and I'll start off with Councillor Dunn.
Thank you again, Madam Mayor. Once again, a busy month for me, and as usual, I'll start off with the Botanic Gardens Walk, which is it's quite a good thing to visit every 6 months or so and see the work that's actually going on there and the plants that are growing, and it sort of gets me revitalised when I go back home to try and water my plants and look after them a bit better. World Environment Day, we had the environmental grants. The Yak Awards are attended, Zonta Dance, which sort of busted a few moves on the floor, Business Excellence Awards, Refugee Week, which was quite one of the speakers was quite actually refreshing because he was very honest with a lot of our subjects that we tend to tippy-toe around. He came out and said quite a few good things that were good to come back from a refugee. The Plumpton PSP that was on display in Caroline Springs, Springside College Grasslands presentation, which was fantastic, and the kids were very entertaining, and I could have spent quite a long time there. And I won't cover the opening of the Bridge Road in Arnold's Creek, because I know someone else will be probably dying to do. But I do want to make a special mention to congratulations to our councillor, Mr. Turner, because he was appointed president of the Lions Club. So I'm not pushing any other clubs, but very valued.
Well done.
And I don't know how you fit it in with everything else you do and still go home to the wife.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to highlight that next week, Madam Mayor, we have NAIDOC Week, and there's a flag-raising ceremony at the Melton Community Hall at 11 o'clock on the 7th of July, which is a Thursday. Just to refresh everyone's memory, that NAIDOC Week celebrations are held across Australia each July to celebrate the history, the culture and the achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And NAIDOC is celebrated not only in Indigenous communities but by Australians from all walks of life. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as I like to do, I like to sit down with a cup of coffee and open up my local newspaper. This time I was reading the Star Weekly. Turn over the first page and what do I see? A great initiative by the Melton City Council. So a full page ad about recycling. Now, admittedly, this guy did look a little bit like a clown, which made me look at it nicely, but it gives us a nice reminder about recycling. So it's about the little things, doing the little things, like he's talking about your pizza boxes here. Do those. And I know that, as I like to call her my better half, she likes to get on to me as well and think about the little things that we can do to recycling. So it's about your plastic bags. I know Councillor Dunn recently talked about getting rid of them in our community, but when we do have them, let's recycle them down at your local Coles or Woolies. You can do that down there. And that's linked me into the nice councillor report tonight, 12.9, about us opening up the recycling facility to having the free drop-off service. And I thank my fellow councillors for getting involved in supporting this. And I know Councillor Turner has been advocating for a long time that this is a service that a lot of people at Christmas have a lot of paper, and what do they do with it? It's great to see that I extended it out a little bit other than starting straight away so that over that Christmas period and after Christmas, when all that paper's around, people can recycle it. There's not going to be a cost. It's going to be nice and easy. And hopefully, in 6 months' time, we'll be saying, let's get this in permanently. But we'll have a look at that in a little while. Some other things we did this month, the share event. I know I'm on about our community groups, but we gave some money to community groups to do some great work. And more importantly, there was a great talk, and I've forgotten the bloke's name, but he's a marketer who helps non-for-profits. And it was great to see there to give some ideas about how do community groups to market themselves, because that's what they are. They need to market and get out there and expand, because they're great groups. They just need to show more people what they're doing and get more people involved. And last of all, I know we alluded to it, but the Bridge Road facility that we opened this morning. What a great facility. Sorry to take this off my other councillors who are probably going to talk about it also, but it's a great facility. And I'd like to thank the councillors. It started long before I was on this council, so the council have been behind it, and it's good to see. And I'd also like to thank the council officers. They're the ones who have been there with the architecture, applying for the grants, getting in there, making sure those little things are right. So it's been a whole effort across this council and across the community, because the community have been involved in what they need. And what I'd like to stress is that the community need to get down there and use it. It's a great facility that we have. We spent $11 million on there. Get down there and use it. And I can tell you that hockey pitch is absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can't just do that. Just sorry. I'll leave that to Councillor Bentley. Anyway, finished off last month with the City of Milton Breakfast and Talking. It's a breakfast meeting of various businesses in Milton, and it meets bi-monthly, well, 1 month in the base and 1 month at West Waters. It's actually tomorrow morning. Don't know if I can be up that early tomorrow morning. 7:30 at West Waters. If anybody would like to go along and get involved, it's just like-minded people from different businesses, just sit down, have a chat and have breakfast together. You pay for your own breakfast and just eat. If you pay for your breakfast, you get to speak, so that's a good start. Anyway, so that's good. It's an early start, 7:30. On the 2nd of June, I attended the... it was actually just before I went on holiday. I attended the gathering at Botanic Gardens, where they were doing... It was to learn more about the mural and ceremonial circle project, which was a project between the Aboriginal Men's Group and the Friends of Milton Botanic Gardens. That was a great morning, and the weather was reasonably good. It held up quite well. I missed the Metropolitan Waste Management Forum because I was on holiday. Attended the Hope Street Advisory Committee, which was good. The citizenship ceremony. With yourself and Councillor Bentley, I believe. That was another big night, another 80 people joining, becoming citizens. Milton Business Awards, been spoken about. The share event, I wasn't there for long because I had to go to the Lions. Refugee Week, this past week, the 23rd, there was a fantastic speakers on Wednesday at the Community Hall. When we had the Refugee Week celebrations, it was badged as With Courage, Let Us All Combine. That was the theme, and I believe that's on the second line of, or the second verse, sorry, of the National Anthem. So there was three speakers on the night, on the day, sorry, it was at lunchtime. Abdi Aden, author of Shining, Story of a Lucky Man. And that was the gentleman who was alluded to earlier on. He was a very honest, straightforward sort of guy. He talked well. And there was also another couple of refugees, Samia Koshkaba, former refugee from Syria, and Mashid Bazar Tabi, an asylum from Iran. And they all gave their story of how they got to Australia and how they're surviving. They're all in different stages. Abi Abdin. He's really doing well for himself. He's a guest. He's a speaker. He does speaking on the circuits. He didn't speak English when he came to Australia. He's going really well. The lady from Syria, she's on a bridging visa just now. And I'll be interested to see how she survives. And the lady from Iran, she's also an asylum seeker. Apart from that, yeah, it's been a really good month as usual. Our community's got lots to see. And on Saturday, I attended with a few people that are in the gallery tonight, the invitation to the Bhutanese Refugee Week celebration. And what a lovely community they've got, really nice people, really friendly, and it was just a good afternoon. It's their way, they're trying to integrate with the community, and there was many community members that were not from their community, and that was a good thing, I thought. Often when we go to these events, they're their own people. Like, I mean, if it's an Aussie event, it's all Aussies. If you go to a Scottish event, it's all Scottish. Indian event, it's all Indian. But this was actually their people, and they invited everybody else, and they were really inclusive. It was a really good afternoon. And apart from that, we had the opening of the facility today. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor has been touched on, but on the 17th of June, I attended the Melton Business Excellence Awards. Can I say what a fabulous night that was? Again, congratulations to all those the winners. And yeah, I know it's been touched on, but I just have to say it was a fabulous night.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. I attended a few events. I won't mention all of them because we will be here for quite a long time, and some of the events were already touched upon, but I did want to make a special mention for the Melton Botanic Gardens Reconciliation Week guided tour, and some of our members are here today. I had the privilege of attending this tour with the president of the MBG, Mr. John Bentley, who impressively, may I say, gave the group the technical names of every single plant and what it was used for and how it can be used, and it was a really, really lovely day. I especially enjoyed the bush tucker that came afterwards that was used with some of the plants that we got to see on the tour. And I haven't been there for a few years, and it was great to see the fantastic progress that this garden is making, the botanical gardens is making. And it was great to be involved in a day that was a little bit cooler than the first time that I went there, which was, I think, over 45 degrees. So I commend the Melton Botanic Gardens, and the volunteer work that goes into that garden is amazing. They also won Business Excellence Awards, which was duly, they very much so deserved it with the great work that they do with all the community groups, the disadvantaged groups, the kids with disabilities. So it was an amazing tour, and also that leads me to the Tabcorp Park Business Excellence Awards. And like as the other councillors mentioned, it was a great event. Great event to highlight and showcase our local businesses, and not only do I congratulate the winners, but also everyone that's nominated. I know it's not an easy process, which I believe Council's looking into that to make it a little bit easier, but it was a great event, and everyone who attended, I'm sure, had a great night. I attended the Melton Share event where, as Councillor Turner mentioned, Council awarded $135,000 from this year's annual grants round, and all the grants support local community groups and residents, and I just want to congratulate all those that were successful in the grants. Myself and Councillor Ramsey attended a gender equality workshop, which was really great, highlighted violence against women and also gender equality within the workplace and also at home. There was a lot of passionate people in the group, which was very good, very exciting. Springside College Grade 6 presentation, myself and Councillor Dunn and Councillor Ramsey attended. Presentation on grasslands, and these children did an amazing job. I was so proud of their work. They were so excited about what they had learned. Across the road from their school, they've actually got a patch of grass, which is native vegetation, and a lot of the children said to me, before we were saying that it should be concreted and we should have parking there, but when they've done the work with our environmental officer, Linda Bradburn. She taught the kids and showed them exactly why the native vegetation grasslands are important to us and which habitats also live there, all the endangered species that live there. So now when I said, well, do you want to concrete the area for car park, they're saying, oh, no, no, we don't want to do that. And they planted some, I'm not sure how many. There was quite a few that they planted, trees and shrubs and things like that. So really, really good. I also attended the Hope Street fundraiser event, which was an event to highlight and showcase the great things that Hope Street does. And they were very thankful to council for their assistance in the project of Hope Street and homeless youth in our area, which was great. The opening of the Bridge Road Athletics and Hockey Facility, as well as the Arnold's Creek Recreation Reserve, and what can I say, a marvellous and fantastic facility for all our community members to share. I concur with Councillor Bentley in a less animated way, because he knows how to be quite animated and engaged. It was a great event, a little bit cold, but nevertheless it was fantastic, and I did see Miles Bentley, Councillor Bentley, show off his skills with his hockey stick a little bit on the field, so looking forward to hearing more of that precinct as it progresses as well with the regional play space that will be delivered very shortly. Thank you, councillors. Turning your attention to item number 15, notices of motion, and we have before us 15.1, notice of motion 429, Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of the council to be held on the 27th of June 2016. And the motion states that council write to the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, MP, member for Sydenham, in support of the Sydenham Hillside Primary School principal and school council to fund the installation of a school gate just north of the parking bays in Wellington Drive to provide children a safe access point into the school. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, item number 16, councillors' questions without notice. Do I have any councillors with a question without notice? Councillor Dunn.
Just given on the back of the opening of Bridge Road today, have we got any more updates on Bridge Road? Because someone asked me and I can't remember what our updates are because it's always happening something different. So if we can just have an update on that thing.
As in the bridge of Bridge Road or what?
The bridge of Bridge Road.
Okay. Through you, Madam Council, they're just finalising the final parts of the contractor and they're establishing their timelines as far as when construction would start. They're just clarifying the native vegetation removal that's required to be undertaken as far as part of the planning permit as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Councillor Carley, you had a question without notice?
I did. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Could I just have an update on how the trial snake catching program is travelling along? Because I know I think that ends in August, if I'm correct.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Council will recall that a trial program commenced in February and was intended to run through to August, that's correct, at which point a report will be provided to Council. I can provide an update now, though. Since we initiated the program, there have been 24 call-outs. Through that, we've retrieved six snakes, or the snake catcher has retrieved six snakes, six lizards, believe it or not. On 11 occasions, nothing was found, and on one other occasion, there was no one at home, so we're unable to attend the property. So it's met with some success. As I indicated at the start of the project, the peak period was pretty much gone by the time we got into full swing, so I would expect that numbers would pick up if Council continues the program. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councillors, are there any other questions without notice? Item number 17, motions without notice. Any motions without notice? Number 18, urgent business. Is there any urgent business, councillors? Item number 19, confidential business, and we have a procedural motion here before us. Councillor Cagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to the Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated. 9.1, Reconciliation Advisory Committee Community Representative Vacancies. 19.2, 2 Darabin Place in Caroline Springs. 19.3, Hope Street Youth and Family Services Update. And 19.4, Contract Number 16/034 for the design of the Taylors Hill Recreation Reserve Sports Pavilion and Community Hub. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have any councillor to second the procedural motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, members of the gallery, ladies and gentlemen, for attending. Please help yourself to some refreshments and please drive carefully and stay warm. Thank you and good evening.